whenever you feel that ability to show yourself, don't be worried if you're not good at it. Don't stress out if you're not a professional, if you haven't had years of training. Be confident that what you've got is unique and different, and throw it out there and you'll get good results if you're confident in what you are presenting.
Welcome back to another edition of How I Create Me, where we passionately celebrate remarkable humans on their quest to thrive creatively in the commercial world. I'm your host, Jessica Matthews. This community gives me both the courage to keep going and the wisdom to try something different. I hope our collective stories resonate with your own internal spark, and we're so glad you're joining us. Invite others by rating the show on Apple or Spotify. This helps the algorithm critters introduce us to more folks. And explore our happenings or chime into our conversation online at howicreate.me. Today, we're celebrating the remarkable human, people wrangler, and button pusher, Jeanette Gregory. She chatted with me about how a few well-timed behavioral nudges, courtesy of technology's burgeoning bag of tricks, can dupe our mischievous selves into habits of success. She moved east from Utah and upon arrival built a following of beloved volunteers across Atlanta's most prestigious film festivals. After a virtuoso performance in the gig economy, she joined Turner Classic Movies, where she's an admin extraordinaire, even on the team that brings us their annual film festival, which returned in person this year. Yay! Join us to hear how this self-proclaimed hater of work from home now thrives as an artist of automation behind her own silver screen, and why being your best boss self is totally worth it.
Jeanette! It's so good to see you. Thank you for joining me this morning. I know I miss you too. I had the lovely privilege of getting to see you for every day for a short span of our lives. And I just fell in love with our conversation. So I'm so pleased that you're on my podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
So today, I want to ask you the most important question, which is, what have you discovered as your superpowers and how have they fueled the way you creatively approach your work in the film festival event space?
Thank you for asking. I think for what my superpowers are the things that come most natural to me, and that is people. I love people. I'm very comfortable with people. And I started my whole career in events as a people wrangler. I started as a volunteer coordinator early on, and I found there is a challenge to getting people to work for you for free.
No.
So you not only have to, and my first year, I stumbled, I failed. I was doing most of the roles myself because I couldn't get on top of the coordinating. But what I could do was I could talk to people. I could make groups of people feel comfortable. I could direct people. I could laugh and enjoy. So I was naturally comfortable in front of people. So then as I found myself volunteer coordinating after an internship, I then had to find out why people were working for me for free. Everybody has a motive. If you volunteer, you want something out of it too. I need you to do what I need you to do, but what do you want? And that is hard to make the same for everyone. Some people are there to network. Some people are there because they want to watch movies. Some people are bored. So that became a challenge of how do you give people what they want and still guide them into doing what you want them to do? So I found I succeeded in that. Atlanta Film Festival was my kickoff. And then from there, I took that volunteer program to the Bronze Lens Film Festival and started their volunteer program. Then I've been Dragon Con Film Festival, Atlanta Jewish Film Festival, where I met you. But what kept me going from event to event was my ability to wrangle people. I could do that more naturally than most. I went to school for editing. I did not become an editor. I fell back into what my best natural traits were, which was just being a natural person who could lead a little bit. I still haven't been working on my management skills. But I think for me, I always gave people a sense of gratitude and I valued them. And that helped them come back. I got volunteers that were loyal to me over the organization and would follow me to organizations. That is not always easy to do. I also had volunteers telling me I was wasting their time and they charge $50 an hour and here's the bill. So you had to balance how do you get what they want and how do you get what you want And that has taken me pretty far. I think that's the one thing that has led me from my one job to my next job to my next job, was just that I'll handle your interns. I'll handle your volunteers. I got the people.
And I will say, it may not seem like readily apparent, but I do think that there is a connection between editing and people wrangling, because editing, ultimately, you're organizing all of this chaos being thrown at you, and you're weeding out the things that don't contribute to a valuable story that engages the person on the other end, right? And so there is a big piece of that editing activity that comes into the people management. Now, of course, my immediate immersive moment of people management right now is my toddler, who never knows what he wants, when he wants it. And that negotiation process can be just cruel and grueling. But there is such an art to being able to understand, like, okay, what does he want to get out of pulling the stool out of the laundry room right now, even though it's obviously too big for him? And I'm happy to get what he needs in this. Oh, he wants his independence. Okay, he wants to show mommy he can do it, right? You like walk through and you figure out, okay, well, now how can I give him what he wants while I also get what I want, which is not the whole gallon of milk spilled all over the kitchen floor. I love that. So what kind of obstacles did you overcome when you're really trying to hone, like, and love applying those people skills, that superhuman power you discovered you had?
Well, this is where I was going to get a little real, because it's an actual physical thing I had to overcome. The event world is fun and fun-filled, and it's full of parties and it's full of alcohol. I was not in control of myself when I was fueling myself with the energy of others and with alcohol. So honestly, I had to sober up. It was something that I couldn't control. And without controlling myself, it was going to become very hard to move forward. I was hopping gigs. I'd go event to event. They're seasonal, your downtime, your uptime. Downtime's not so good. Uptime's great, fun. But, you know, if you're in charge of the volunteers at the closing night party and everybody's lit, who's the responsible one shutting the doors, cleaning up? You have to stay in control I never thought of myself as an example, but it was hard to lead people when I wasn't being the best me. I got an opportunity actually it was the Jewish Film Festival, full-time year-round gig. I knew I had to be a better version of me to do well. So it was honestly the next gig that helped me challenge myself, take away my crutches, which was alcohol, and really trick myself into being a better version of myself, to be in control, to be a boss, to prove to myself that I was not just floating and having fun and leading the party, but that I could be the next level up of the one coordinating the event, managing the event, dealing with the vendors, dealing with the sponsors. That took a whole nother level that I wasn't ready for until I got in control. So it's a challenge for everybody. I learned it was hereditary. You know, I come from a religious background where I didn't know of anyone who drank, but come to find out, go back a few, it's in the blood. So that helped me realize this is something I will never control and I just have to change. So that was, I think, my biggest hurdle, but I am 12 years sober. Woo-hoo!
Bravo!
So that has been the single biggest thing that has made me change to grow, taking control of myself.
I find that to be so inspiring on many levels, but the two that I want to call to the front are, number one, that you first viewed it as decision of self-empowerment for you, that it wasn't about leaving the party or disconnecting from the social, you know, lubrication that comes with that, but that there were ways for you to actually engage more and be that bigger, better, bolder Jeanette that way. And then also, though, that it sounds like you discovered later that there was a history there, that there was something in your body that was also affecting it. And I think that there's so many people, whether it's alcohol or whether it's cholesterol or whether it's any other sort of like chronic illness or hereditary thing or some any sort of like physical thing that you have to deal with, that we really are one package, our body and soul, and finding out the best way to show up for ourselves in that soul space with the body that we have. And that is the challenge I think that so many of us face. And I remember dealing with the sleep side for myself in when I was in the event world, because I had chronic migraines, and those were always triggered by unpredictable sleep or a lack of sleep. And girl, when it's that last minute and they're like, okay, somebody needs to go pick this up and drop this off over here, and then this thing is happening, you know, like there's is so much pressure to perform or to do it in a certain way. And it's like, yeah, it's a challenge to figure out, okay, like, how do I show up as my best self? And how do I work with what I got? And for me, that was working with a doctor to get the right kind of medication so that when I was asleep, I was fully asleep, and that sort of helped a little bit. But yeah, it is tough. And I so appreciate you drawing that out, because I think there is this superpower and a heroism that comes with facing that and like, and owning for yourself what you're doing and pushing forward. So I love that. I find that fabulous.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of it. And I don't talk a lot, but people don't talk about it much. I try to be there for anybody who wants to talk to me about it, but I don't get preachy about it. I didn't do it through AA. I did it through myself and tricking myself and changing my environment and setting up routines. And I did it my own way, but I also try to not judge. Some people can handle it. I could not. I always chased it thinking, if I keep doing it, I'll get better at this. Nope. Some there folks, you're just, not, you're just not ever going to get better at something that is a challenge to you. Find a different way to do it. Because I was not going to be any better of a version of me going the way I was going.
And there's a lot of signals, I think, in our productivity culture that says you just keep trying, like, don't give up if you fail. And it's like, no, sometimes if it's not working, like, it's not working. So do something different.
Go ahead and fail.
I really, really appreciate that. And articulating it aloud as well. That's something I love about this medium of a podcast, right? It's like anybody can listen to it anywhere and in privacy and be able to find like an encouragement and a resonance. And so I really appreciate you to share that and bring that to the conversation. So we've talked a little bit about our superpowers and our obstacles, and then how sort of facing what you have to work with and running with it and finding a way that works for you. So talk to me about something that you think is like a commonly held belief about creativity or creative types that you passionately disagree with.
Well, as I was just alluding to, as we kind of prefaced this conversation, is I am a last minute person. I thrive off the cram session just beforehand. In any kind of medium I've tried to learn, drawing, piano, which I haven't succeeded at anything. I lightly dabble at everything, but I expert at nothing. But it was always just continually taught you have to be prepared. You have to have built. I thrive on spontaneity. I think that I trust what is in me to just deliver last minute. So the more I prep, sometimes I get in my head and I overthink it 16 times, or I'll practice, and then I'll get stage fright and mess it up anyway. So for me, I have embraced my last minute ability to shine. And I think creativity can be just as raw if it's practiced or if it's just let go freely in a random moment. I think you need to embrace whenever you feel that ability to show yourself. Don't be worried if you're not good at it. Don't stress out if you're not a professional, if you haven't had years of training. Be confident that what you've got is unique and different, and throw it out there, and you'll get good results if you're confident in what you are presenting. So I think that there's a lot of value in just your raw, spontaneous self that you know, always embrace that because you don't want people to not prepare, but I do.
I think there's also opportunity there for giving yourself that space for the last minute. I joke about this with my husband all the time because I have a similar streak in my personality. And he'll go like, well, this big, like, let's say we're hosting a huge dinner party. And he's like, okay, like, do we have the plan for the dinner? No, I don't have the plan for the dinner. Have you gone grocery shopping? No, not yet. Okay, so, and I'm like, oh, well, that's what Friday afternoon is for. Like, they'll be there Friday night. So Friday afternoon is like it'll come together. And it's something that shocked him a lot, I think, when we were first married, because I also have this planner side of me that can make the lists and like check them off twice and like all that stuff. But when it comes to those moments of creativity, like the spontaneity and the energy that comes into that last minute, like performance of the thing, it really brings a lot to the moment and has become something fun that we've learned as a couple how to leave space for that. And he's gotten a little bit more willing to trust that, but you have to trust it with yourself first. Right. And you have to trust it with yourself first. Like you said, like you have to be willing to go out there and try it.
And you might fail. But you might get a benefit out of it. And then you mm-hmm. remember that benefit the next time. And then you keep building benefits. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You're kind of good at something because have enough positives that outweigh the negatives.
Yeah. Definitely served like raw chicken one time and had to like, you know, frozen pizza it up from a friend. Delicious. And then next time my spontaneity started 2 hours earlier.
Not to say don't be prepared. There is always, you know, but I think we just need to trust our raw selves more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do it. See what happens. Just go with it.
And they work hand in hand. Yeah. I think that you can be prepared to be your raw self, right? You can leave that, build that space, practice those skills and keep trying and be your, I love that. Be your raw self. Sounds like a t-shirt I need to wear to remind myself.
Make me one too, please.
Send it your way. So what's a tool that you sort of always carry in your toolbox, no matter what project you're working on?
I had lots of answers for this. And I was like, I wonder which one I'll say when it's go time. back to how I was able to move past my challenges is I know myself pretty well. And I know my weaknesses and I know how to trick myself. I know how to schedule myself into success. And it comes with organization and it comes with color coding and the level of detail that makes something easy for me. I can take that from creating a volunteer recruitment grid to helping copy edit a program guide, helping to design merchandise everywhere. I do have, though I love my creativity, organization brings me comfort. And I have tricked myself and trained myself to using great tools for organization. So I will automate what I can. I will prioritize my timing. I did not think I would be a good work from home person because I am a people person. I get fuel off my coworkers and I don't have this self-discipline that other folks have. But what I can do is I can trick myself into getting the results I want. So it just takes myself thinking, what would Jeanette do? And what do we want Jeanette to do? So let's put a roadblock in front of whatever action Jeanette's going to do. And then that will direct her to do something else instead. So I'd set myself time frames at home. I can watch TV between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Then it's go time. And then I give myself a lunch break. I've color-coded and put rules on all my inbox. I unsubscribe to things religiously. Like as soon as you can get an organizational grasp on your inbox, your texts, your to-dos. I list like a mother. I list. I've also gone digital. I have not printed or written anything down really for work since going home for the pandemic. I have found a way to digitize everything. That is, I mean, in the cloud, you get a little worried, what if it all disappears? But for me, it has been efficient in keeping everything on my computer, everything in my inbox. My to-do list is right there next to my inbox, color-coded. I love, the feeling of checking something off a list. That is a high I will never get tired of. I love a good list checking.
So give me an example. Okay. When you said the phrase, like, trick yourself, I tried one time making a list and putting things on it I had already done so I could check them off and like get a little bit of that high you're talking about to like move on to the next one. Is that what you mean when you're talking about like tricking yourself, or give me another example?
Well, 100% on that, but I will even like retroactively put things on a list that I've already done just so I get that first thing that comes to mind, very, very rudimentary, but I bite my nails. I couldn't stop biting my nails until I started painting my nails, because then there's the extra step of getting the polish off to then bite your nail. As long as I keep my nails polished, I don't bite my nails. So it's just that step of, before I do this thing, what could stop me from doing that thing? And then how do I make that part of my life? My inbox, once I read something, is almost like it's checked off a list, right? So I need to see an unread thing as an action item. Or I hate a cluttered desktop. So if I open up every email that needs action, I am not settled until that desktop is cleared of all of those annoying windows. So it's a very visual reminder of, you've got stuff to do. There's still 6 more emails open that you want to close before you go to lunch or something like that. So it's just knowing what makes me happy is a completely red inbox and no open windows. So the way I get to that is by cluttering myself. So then I can check, 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 done, done, done. I get such a high out of having like a net zero inbox. It took me a while, but I am there. So if it's in my inbox, it is new and undone. Otherwise, it's filtered, it's moved, I've got business critical at work because you'll lose everything. So I just automatically send everything there. Steps to keep a result from happening, which I can let an inbox just go all day too. If I don't send open stuff, I can let things go. So it's tricking myself with an annoyance that will make myself clear that annoyance.
I love that you have both. Yes, absolutely. I'm totally tracking with you. I love your ideas. And I'm like, note to self for later. Because I love too that you're like, the painting the nails was a great example of sort of that positivity of like doing something that you can enjoy, this like this moment of self-care and beauty that like makes you happy as sort of even a preventative action from a negative. And then also the using of the something that irritates you to give you that like kick in the rear to get something done. I think having both sides of that, that positive and negative sort of duality, makes so much sense as a way to kind of build a productive world. So I really appreciate that. How do you think that creatives can use tools like automation or digitizing or filters and labels and list making, all that? How do you think that creative people can use these tools more effectively to find more time in their day and do what they love?
Well, we'll start with there. A lot of people work differently. So in my group alone at work, I have many different types of personalities and of workers. And some folks couldn't operate the way I operate. It would drive them crazy. So knowing what works for you, I couldn't assume that other people could keep a clear inbox, but that's not a priority for them. They can get through their clutter and they know how, and that works for them. So don't try to conform to what somebody else does if it's not your nature, but find a way to trick yourself or to get the same result in a way that works for you. So I have coworkers that work at the craziest hours, but they can set a timer that their alarm, that their emails go out at 9 a.m. So you can still do tools to focus your work hours or make it look like you're working during work hours if you're not. I love, again, unsubscribe everything, keep your inbox clean. I will come to you when I want to buy something. Thank you very much. I set up rules on my inbox. If it comes from my finance team, I flag it yellow, put a star on it, and move it to this folder. I let the computer do that for me. The time I can save on my inbox can be done something else because I trust the computer. Understand your systems if you've got them, if you have access to them, and use them. Google, Gmail has rules, same as an automation in Outlook. Every email server will have different automation. So the choices that can make your day-to-day a little cleaner, you can YouTube, Google all of these things. Like there are informative videos to show you all of these neat tricks.
And it sounds like it's worth the time to train yourself on a couple tools and or to sit with yourself and think through, okay, what makes me happy? And like, for me, I had like the little high school girl in me moment where I went out and bought myself colored pens because I could actually keep my list organized if I had beautiful gel pens to write with. And it felt silly, but the more that I have worked with it, the more it's like, wow, those few minutes and those few dollars sitting into something I enjoyed and loved and then running with it have given me a lot of time back in my day because I'm not chasing things down in this like more scattered way. And I can flip through and be like, oh, right, the notes about our budget discussion were in green. And so that's all the way back on the page, you know, tap into my visual cortex. So I love those examples. That's fabulous.
And even if you can't stop yourself from the monotonous work, I work in a creative group for creative people, but I do the finance, I do the billing, I do the scheduling, the lunches. Like I'm an admin amongst creatives, but helping creatives build projects still fuels me. I make it joyful by making it work for me because my calendar is color-coded beauty. People look at my calendar, they're like, ooh, pretty. Yes, it is. And that is years of building, reoccurrence events, put birthdays on there, put it for the next year. Then it's always there. Like your systems can do things for you if you just learn the buttons to push. And then that keeps, it's like having a digital assistant. I am other people's assistants, but I have robots to be my assistants. And I try to use every tool. I get a lot of tools working in corporate. So I've recently gotten Grammarly, I don't know, not to plug anything, but something to audit my writing. Best thing I've had all year because I love to talk, but copy editing isn't always my strong suit, at least not my own work. So I love when I have a system that can correct me. I do. I am grateful for it.
I so want to see your calendar now because in my head, it's like a painting. Like I love the correlation that you make between using your automated tools and digital interfaces, like the colors that come with it. That is painting and figuring out the best way to organize that so your eye can like instantly follow where it goes or get energized by this fun thing coming up that maybe is unusual or like a birthday. It's like this special color that really pops against the background of other ones. That's amazing. Yeah.
People see my calendar and ask me, how do you do that? Can you show me how to do that? So I love to like share the wealth. Like, yes, you too can have a beautiful calendar full of colors and pops and bings.
And the commitment. Like you said, like planning ahead for next year. I think that it wasn't until I really became a mom that I suddenly realized like, oh yeah, 12 months is not really that long. Like I, you know, get into things or start a system thinking that, you know, oh, I may or may not be using this next year. No, you probably will be using it next year unless something dramatic changes. So invest the time and make it something special because you can layer onto it like that. So, oh, marvelous. Okay. I want to play a game with you. All right, it's called The End Game, and it tells me right here that it's the world's most popular self-expression game, so there's no rules. All right, so we'll shuffle a deck and then answer a question, each of us together. So we'll be answering the same question. So complete the sentence, I wish all people would...
see themselves in others. I got some advice once that... if something in someone else drives you crazy, it's probably because it's in you too. The things we are most angered about have something to do with yourself. So if you can kind of, it gets me through traffic. I want to scream, I want to yell, and I have to be like, you know what? Maybe that person is going into labor. Maybe that person, like I have to try to just see compassion or see myself in them. And it tends to disarm whatever aggression I might be bubbling up or annoyance or just a little bit of compassion helps level things out.
I love that. I wish all people would sing. Like, don't you think people would be happier if we all sang? Like, it could be in the shower, but most importantly, like with other people. I read in this great book last year, about studies that had shown that humans bond when they sing together, like in the same space, And suddenly so much of the activity of my also religious upbringing made sense. But I was like thinking about like Atlanta United games when everybody sings the chants. And even my husband and I, when we're on a road trip and you start singing the oldies or you're at a wedding and you're on the dance floor, it's like, it's when everybody starts singing that something like magical happens. And I always feel better when I sing, and it makes you take deep breaths, and I would imagine it calms your nervous system, all these things. So I wish all people would sing.
I agree. And I think self-consciousness stops people from singing. I'm not a great singer. I wouldn't sing karaoke without drinking, honestly. So I haven't sang karaoke in a while, but it does bring joy. Therapy, I'll sing. I will sing along to some Beatles to calm down or something. Like, it really does. It does something to you. There's energy in it.
Thank you, Jeanette, for joining me today. I had such a lovely time chatting with you. And I'm sure that many of my listeners will want to continue the conversation with you elsewhere. Where can they go to find you or explore the things that you're up to?
Well, I don't have much of a social presence, but you can find me on Instagram. And that's Miss JPEG, MSJPG. I do want to shout out to all of my film festivals and all of the volunteers that worked for me for so long that helped me be the best me possible. So Atlanta Film Festival, Dragon Con Film Festival, Bronze Lens Film Festival, Atlanta Jewish Film Festival, and now the Turner Classic Movies Film Festival, where we will be hosting a festival in person in LA in the next 2 weeks. So that's my latest adventure, but all of those events are amazing. I will add networking. Most people I've met in this world has been through film festivals and through volunteering or through events. A great way to meet people is find a local film festival and just start talking.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Thank you. Thank you.
That's another party in the bag for How I Create Me. We're incredibly grateful that you've welcomed our content into your headspace. We take it very seriously that we should bring light and goodness to your soul. So don't be shy about sharing your thoughts. How'd we do? Do you want to hear more? What should we talk about next? To stay connected and get amongst the details, visit howicreate.me. Are there other people in your world that should join the party? Invite others by rating the show on Apple or Spotify. This helps the algorithm critters introduce us to more folks. Like, share, follow, and all the social media things, that'll help too. Explore our happenings or chime into our conversation online at howicreate.me. This podcast would not be possible without the generous efficiency of our executive producer and production team at Chat with Leaders Media. Learn how you can launch your own podcast to grow your business at chatwithleaders.com. Thanks again for listening. May you go forth and thrive.